people who are able to land a vest on their feet have multiple skills. The most important skill that I think is critical for everyone is to be adaptable. Can you do new things? A lot of talk about AI. People are worried about that taking their jobs. You don't have to worry about that if you actually just spend time learning AI, how to use it. That's a skill that's going to be very, very valuable now and in the years to come.
This is the Rebel HR Podcast, the podcast where we talk to HR innovators about all things people leadership. If you're looking for places to find about new ways to think about the world of work, this is the podcast for you. Please subscribe from your favorite podcast listening platform today and leave us a review. Rebel on, HR Rebels. Welcome back, Rebel HR listeners. With us today, we have Chris Hanna. He is the founder and CEO of Hire For Me Incorporated, a company that helps solopreneurs and entrepreneurs find and make that next critical hire. We're going to be talking about all sorts of fun stuff. He also goes by Stone Cold Chris Hanna. So welcome to the show, Chris.
Oh, I appreciate you having me here. And I love that entrance. I've never actually been called Stone Cold. So I think that's great.
We were talking about all of the fun hobbies that we have, and pro wrestling came up. So I just, you know, I wanted to pump you up there a little bit. So welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Really excited for the conversation today. It's just before we hit record, it's already been a super fun combo. But I want to back up a little bit and give you an opportunity to let our listeners know your background. So what got you into the hiring, training, and leadership development space?
So over the last 20 years, I've been building and leading teams across a variety of different industries. And I've always been in a kind of a leadership capacity. Like I was in car rental. I was in, you know, the corporate world of IT connectivity. I was eventually at one point then, you know, CEO of a real estate education company. And I worked with a lot of small business owners and entrepreneurs. And I would go to events and I would support them through mentorship and coaching calls. And I kept hearing the same thing from a lot of small business owners. They're burnt out. They're frustrated. They need to hire, but they don't know how to hire, or they've done it and they've failed. And on one particular day when I was at an event in Cleveland with three business owners, they all said the same thing to me. I wish somebody would just hire for me. And I'm driving home from Cleveland and I thought, why don't I just create a company around this? Because I've hired and promoted and led so many different people. I can hire for them. I can have them stop being the chief everyone officer, stop wearing every single hat and every acronym under the books, and just hire for them, make their life easier. And so that's what I created. And that's what I've been doing in addition to consulting and other hobbies and stuff and side hustles that I have. But it's really been focused on just making their lives easier. Why do something that you hate doing when I can just do it for you?
I love that. I love the title Chief Everyone Officer. And I think many of us probably have those individuals in our organizations that want to be that.
Yes. Right?
Or they have been that in the past and they're just used to that.
I've been that. So that's why I understand and I get it.
Yeah, and I you know, just to be blunt, I think some of them really suck at HR.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, you know, it's an interesting dichotomy for me to think about, you know, the skill sets that make somebody really great at being an entrepreneur, a founder. You know, maybe they designed something or they've got this patent or this, you know, this brilliant mind. That doesn't necessarily translate to HR success or hiring success or training and development success. So I've got to believe that as you support these organizations, a lot of this is understanding those gaps in leadership and then trying to kind of fill those in. How do you approach it when you've got a new client or you've got, you know, a problem that you're trying to help one of your clients solve? Where do you go with that? Where do you start?
Well, first, I think to touch on an earlier point that you just said, like a lot of owners of companies and founders, they never really have gone through formalized training in leadership in any capacity, you know, right? So therefore to lead people is sometimes foreign to them. They don't know what they don't know, which is not their fault sometimes, right? But I think a lot of people have never gone through some of that training and some of that support that you might get through a corporate environment, right? And so I think bringing that into conversations that I have with prospects and clients, part of what my service is different is that not only will I hire for them, but I'll actually coach and I'll work alongside that business owner to mentor them over a period of months so that the person is set up for success, because they need help and support of how to onboard, how to train, how to make sure they feel the person actually feels welcome as part of the process. Because I think far too often we're left to fake it till we make it many times as leaders. And that sucks, because you're feeling inauthentic. You're maybe even feeling burnt out. And business owners sometimes want to give up, I think, as well, where there's like, maybe this is just not for me. And they're questioning a lot about themselves. So how can you make them feel like they are the right type of leader? I think you got to support them and be there for them and kind of help them and course correct. And I share a lot of advice. And like I've had this client that I've talked to every single day this week, you know, about issues that are not even related to people, but just because you build up that trust and rapport.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think it's a really important distinction on your approach. And I think one of the things that, you know, I would encourage our listeners to reflect on is the fact that you're not placing blame on the leader, right? You're coming at it from a standpoint of, how do I help this individual that just hasn't had the exposure to some of these tools, processes, tactics, whatever. And then do that in a way that you build trust with that individual and empower them to feel good about leadership, right? I mean, that's a really important distinction, I think, versus some of us who are like, oh, they just suck as a leader, right? Like that's not the right context to approach this in.
It's not the right context, but I also look back at myself and I realize throughout my career, especially when I first started out, I sucked as a leader. I was absolutely terrible. I didn't have training. I didn't have support. I didn't have anyone tell me, don't do it this way. Because when I first became like an official leader, I was like 20, 21 or whatever it was, you know, assistant manager at a rental car branch. I would basically tell people what to do. It's like, do it my way or the highway type of mentality. And it was such a shitty way to do it. But that's what, I didn't know any better. And then eventually I had to learn through mistakes, through people telling me, you know, hey, you shouldn't do it this way. I've also been fired twice in my career too, which is very beneficial. And I think it's the best thing that ever happened for me. But like, I'm just trying to pass along some of the knowledge and the insights that I've gained so then people don't have to make the same mistakes. And more importantly, you don't lose good people. Because I had great people quit on me throughout my career. That like, I sit there and I still have some PTSD and nightmares about sometimes. It's like, why did I screw that up? So I think I've learned a lot as I'm starting to age, I guess.
Kyle and I were just talking about this the other day, and I think even as you grow in your leadership journey, I think you're all good leaders anyway, are always questioning, like, did I do that effectively? Am I the best leader that I needed to be in that moment? I just think that's something that for good leaders never goes away.
Well, and I think that right now there's been so much talk about companies that are downsizing and laying people off or firing people, right? Good leaders probably also need to look at themselves and realize, is there anything that they could have done differently to avoid something like that happening? Because we all have a role in it. It's not just HR's responsibility, right? It's leaders at every, you know, level of an organization to take a look at themselves and figure out, can we learn some lessons from whatever's happened here? Maybe we've hired the wrong person. Maybe we didn't set them up for success. Maybe we didn't train them. Like, maybe we're just bad leaders. Like, there's lots of things you got to get a little bit introspective on, I think.
And just thinking about the dynamic from leadership and HR, I think HR has this huge opportunity to really challenge their leaders on their team to make them question, like, were you the best that you could be? You know, how could you have done that differently and help them grow? I think HR has a lot of opportunity to add value in that arena.
100%. Like when I was, you know, CEO, and I was also kind of, I guess, a smaller company, about 30 people, I was also kind of like HR as well, right? And I would have, you know, managers in the company come to me and say, like, I think we need to fire someone. And I'm like, you know, this is just not working out. And I'm like, okay, have you done everything in your power to make sure that, you know, we've trained them, we've coached them, we've set them up for success? Like, don't just think like we instantly need to get rid of them. Like, let's make sure we've done everything that we're supposed to do before really making that call. And look at yourself. Like, really, really look at yourself first. If it comes down to that being the decision, sure, that's the decision. But you got to realize you own a responsibility with that.
thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think the exact interchange between Molly and I was like, do you ever feel like you suck as a leader? Yeah. That's funny, you know. But I think it's right. It's like the wisdom paradox. Like the more that you learn, the more you realize you don't know anything. You know, it's that, like, and I do think good leaders, they ask that question on a regular basis. And if you're not asking that question, then you probably should be, because there's always something that you could be focusing on improving. And quite frankly, you know, we should need to be accountable to our people that we're leading, right? And it is, like you said, it's a big responsibility.
Well, I think ask yourself those questions, but more importantly, ask your team, ask your colleagues for feedback and advice as well. Like, there's the value of the 360 review for a reason, right? But just even just asking point blank feedback, you know, hey, what am I doing right? What am I doing wrong? And more importantly, and I always ask this question very directly because I'm a direct speaker, how am I pissing you off? And then when you build that trust with some employees where they can actually like really tell you how it is, that's real, like, that's gold. Like, there's so many times that my eyes have just been like blown, you know, wide open, being like, I did not know that I was doing that. Or I came across that way. Unless I ask for that direct feedback.
I'm going to put that in my one-on-ones. How am I pissing you off? That's going to be like the last question in every one-on-one for me. We'll see what happens next week. My team, what are you doing?
They might. They might look at you, what the hell are you doing? Or they might be like, you know what? I'm glad that you asked.
Yeah, yeah.
Let me tell you. Hopefully we have another hour.
I literally have had someone say that before.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're like, okay, great. Let's just move this next meeting.
Yeah, we should do an exercise. I'll ask Molly that question right now. We'll see what happens.
Ooh, we don't have enough time for that.
Yeah. Yeah. All kidding aside, Molly, you are good at that. And I think in your organization, small business, you do have a lot of people wearing a lot of different hats, right? And fostering that development and that kind of that coaching is, I think, a really critical role. So Chris, as you think about the work that you're doing and kind of really, you know, doing some of this work for others, how do you decide where to focus? You know, do you go just hire great people and let them flourish? Do you focus more on kind of the internal team and the training and kind of the gaps that you observe? You know, what's your recipe for success as you're helping these organizations?
I think it first starts always with that intake call. And doesn't matter if I'm doing it as part of my own business or I've done it other businesses that I've worked with, is like really understand, whether it's a hiring manager or a small business owner, who do they really need in their business? What is the skills? What are the gaps that are required? Like, I always say that if you can get like the must have criteria documented, like what are the 3 to 5 must have things that you're not going to compromise on? I found that's been my sweet spot to really ultimately zero in on finding the right candidate that works with a particular business or that I've hired throughout my career. Like, got to find the stuff that you're not going to compromise on, because I think far too often when it comes to hiring, whether it's, you know, in HR or it's a business owner doing it themselves, we compromise because we're sometimes desperate putting in a body. But like, what are the things that we're just not willing to compromise on to make sure that it is the right hire? Like, I will also make sure that I'm utilizing video with every hire that I do as well. Instead of asking for a boring cover letter, I'm not asking for that crap. I'm asking for a video, and give me 1 to 2 minutes of why you think you're the best fit and why you're interested in this position. And that has been such a game changer for me over the last, I'd say, 5 years that I've been doing this, where it's like, then I'm now actually hearing what the person's all about, seeing their passion, and ultimately finding out who reads instructions in a job posting, because a lot of people gloss over that and hit the easy apply.
Mm.
Those little things have been just, I think, so instrumental to helping find the right person.
Can then you utilize that in your pre-training process?
Absolutely.
Okay.
If you do not submit a video, you do not move forward in the process. And so that means there's less people who are going to ultimately, you know, kind of come through. But I'm now talking to the people who actually truly want it, who read instructions, because you have no idea how many people just like will not read instructions, right? But like,
oh, I can imagine.
Helps you the level of creativity too.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. I don't know about you guys, but I stopped reading cover letters about 3 years ago.
I I don't even know why people submit them.
I don't. It makes no sense, especially if you're emailing it in or something or whatever, right? It's useless. But a video, yeah. It's such a game changer for me, and it made a world of difference.
Yeah. Yeah, cover. It's, and now it's funny. It's like people are complaining about cover letters and like the you know, the AI cover letters where they're literally having AI write cover letters for them. Or you can tell like it's a copy paste. Like you Googled cover letter and then they just like filled in the blanks and it's just
oh,
like,
the best word when they don't even fill it in. It's just insert job title here. Yeah, not one of those the other day.
You get some of those, or you get it just in their email and stuff as well. Like. I think it's like the video piece is underutilized, I think, as a tool still by a lot of companies. But like I've been having now people who are like looking for jobs come to me and ask for advice on like how to find a job. And I've been saying, why don't you try and do something to stand out? Maybe why don't you send a video in proactively or include it as a link as part of like your resume of some sort. And so I've now just sat on some like free calls with people and like, let's just record some content together. And I'll just, you know, kind of almost like a video resume for yourself in like 1 to 2 minutes. And it's amazing that, you know, some of the people are like, wow, I never thought about that, but that's way better than me trying to like, you know, just send in a piece of paper and hope that it works out, because you got to stand out. I say that to candidates all the time. You have to be the person that stands out and is different.
Mm-hmm. I can aside from that.
Yeah, for sure. Aside from, you know, your reduced applicant, have you noticed any other challenges with that process?
Yeah, you're going to get some people who are just going to say like, I'm not submitting a video. Like, I'm only going to answer these questions in an interview. And I was like, okay, like, see you later. So I think that's a challenge. The other challenge that I've had, so like, obviously I've got an applicant tracking system right in place, but you know, some of the job boards that you would put it on, it might be hard to like say upload a video. Some people still can't figure out how to like upload a video onto YouTube and make it unlisted. So like, I do have to, you know, send some templates to people like, hey, this is how you should fill it out. This is how you can do it. So some people struggle from the technology side. I do find that as a case sometimes. But the people who really want it, they're persistent, which is really cool. When I see the person's like, oh, I've tried this way, and it didn't work. And it's like, well, I know you really want this job. So like this, like, I'll give you a bit of flex here as we're trying to figure this out. So I think that's been beneficial.
I was looking at your LinkedIn profile earlier and I noticed you have a video as your profile picture, which I didn't even know you could do.
Yeah. So that's creator mode for LinkedIn. Like I'm a big believer in the power of LinkedIn, and every person who's on there should really just have creator mode enabled, because it accesses, gives you more features essentially. And one of them is the 30-second, you know, video. So people land on it. I change it out almost every month, to be honest as well, as I'm starting to shift and change things around. I just love video. Like I created 143 videos in 4 hours a couple of weeks back. I've got 250 videos that I've batch created that obviously are promoting hire for me. It's promoting my own, you know, my consulting business that I have. Like I'm all in on video.
All in. That's good. I could have some fun with that. Do you have like performative videos that come too? Like people who are like, they're like, you know, wearing a wig and like,
so I have a bunch of those like scripted out. That I plan to do. And I'm also building out some ones where, as long as I don't hopefully trip up some copy, you know, writing thing or laws or whatever, where I'm like, I'm going to add in some other fun stuff. But I've always been a person who loves to speak and I love to perform. When I was a kid, I used to like act as a kid and stuff quite a bit. Right. But I would, I love video. And I know my wife says to me too, she goes, sometimes some of my videos sound like wrestling promos. Because I kind of get over the top, or I like to have my music. Like if I could enter a room to some sort of theme song,
oh,
I'd
yeah.
be heaven, right?
That's what, yeah, like the Stone Cold. There you go. See,
exactly.
We're coming full circle here. So
yes, exactly.
So would you be the star or the heel? Is that what they call it? Right. So which one are you?
Yeah, that's the face of the heel, right? I would always want to be the heel whenever I could. Whenever I'm wrestling with my brothers, who again, they're in their mid 30s, I'm always the bad guy because you can have more fun being the bad guy. And I think I've played that role actually throughout my career too, where like, I just love to challenge things. I like to challenge process. Like talk about, you know, rebel, right? Like,
yeah.
I think that has been me. And it's probably bit me in the ass a couple of times. Like I said, I have been fired twice. I think the reason for that is because I will try and rock the boat and try things that I probably maybe it doesn't fit the norm, right? But you got to do things differently.
Absolutely. Yep. And perfect the pile driver. That's the other one. You got to make sure you get that figured
out. I like the uncle center or the sweet chin music. Like
there you go.
Although it's in tougher on the knees as I older I get. But you know what? You got to do it.
Yeah, there you go.
I love that you've owned that you've been fired twice, but yeah, I've never been through that. And I'm like, I don't know how I would deal with it if I did. So I guess what advice do you have for people, you know, that have or are going through that and how to move forward?
Well, I think the first thing is what you just ended with there. Move forward. You can't get anywhere in life if you're staring at the rearview mirror. If you're living in the past, constantly thinking about what happened. It happened, decision was made. You're no longer part of an organization. Look at it as an opportunity to find what's best for you. The first time I got fired in 2011, I was devastated. I was only wrapped up in my role. I didn't know what I was after that. Like, I was a manager and now who am I? I had honestly some PTSD with it too, where like I would go and interview for other jobs. I would blow the interview because I was so worried that that job reminded me of the job that I got fired from that I was really successful at. So the advice I would say is you can reinvent yourself, right? You can move forward to something else, but you have to have the right mindset. You have to continually put yourself out there, but also realize this, there is no such thing as loyalty. So the more that you can invest in yourself, gain new skills, even try and create different income streams for yourself, the better positioned you are going to be to survive when chaos happens. Sometimes you lose a job for no fault of your own. Like the company just goes through a challenging period. A lot of people are going through that. People who are able to land and invest on their feet have multiple skills. The most important skill that I think is critical for everyone is to be adaptable. Can you do new things, right? Like a lot of talk about AI. You know, people are worried about that taking their jobs. Well, you don't have to worry about that if you actually just spend time like learning AI, how to use it. That's a skill that's going to be very, very valuable. Now and in the years to come.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think it's interesting. I want to talk about this a little bit more. You mentioned, you know, loyalty, right? So the word, we use that word a lot in HR, right? We're looking for employee loyalty. We want to be loyal to our employees. You know, when you're here, your family, right? It's like the Olive Garden.
Yeah.
Which that's a whole nother podcast. The use of the term family in corporate context.
Yes, absolutely. Roll my eyes there on that one.
But I want to dig into that a little bit. So what is your perspective on, you know, kind of company loyalty, but both ways?
Well, obviously from the company side to the employee side, like you're only as good as kind of your last day and performance, right? But like there is no such thing as loyalty. And I don't think there is a problem with the fact that employees themselves don't have to be 100% all in loyal to an employer either. Like you should be able to kind of moonlight and have other jobs or positions and stuff too. But I have seen companies and I know of companies who frown upon you doing something else. As long as it doesn't compete against like your time that you're there, I personally have no problem with someone having a part-time job or something else or a side hustle. But companies are against that. The also thing I think that's important for business owners and leaders to really realize is that sometimes it's a pit stop for someone and it can be just a job. It doesn't have to be a career. As long as they're not going out and like slamming the company or the people or whatever and like having a bad attitude, because that's obviously contagious and really negative. Like it doesn't matter if someone's only there for a couple of years or they're only getting it to maybe leverage to something else. Because I think that's the world that we live in now. People don't stick around in companies for 20, 30 plus years as much as they used to. It is rare. And I think that as business owners, as leaders, HR professionals, we need to be okay with that. So like while they're there, it might only be for a season. Do your best to help to support them, make sure that they're successful. So whenever someone would come and say, I've decided to quit, I'm moving on to another role, I'm like another company, I'm like, good for you. That's totally fine because you know what? That's the right thing for you. Like, I totally respect that decision. Yeah, it sucks if you lose somebody really good, but don't hold somebody back.
Absolutely. That's
my thoughts on it, really.
Yeah. No, I think this is a really interesting topic. It's something we don't talk about much. I mean, I literally, one of my last companies, we literally had a no second job policy, right? You know, it's like, but people still had them, you know, but it was just one of these like archaic policies, like where your most important job, right? That's yeah. Just, which is just kind of, I don't know. It's weird. It's a weird.
It's, I think context. It's like so old school, honestly, to have that. Like, it's the old school leaders who are the ones who don't believe in like working from home. Like, it's the ones that just can't see that the world has changed and evolved, and we need to change our management practices as well. Like, sometimes you also maybe just need to pay people enough money so they don't have to go and, you know, work a part-time job or try and do a side hustle. Like, maybe they wouldn't have to do that.
No, that's never it, Chris.
I was just like working full-time, and I was doing another job almost full-time to make up, you know, more income for myself. And it's just like, I was killing myself, and like if I just would have got paid normal decent wage, I would have been fine. I wouldn't have done it, but like I had to do it, so it's almost like necessity. But then it was looked down upon, like, "Well, you got to choose between the two," and I was like, "That's bullshit."
Absolutely,
pay me rent what I'm worth.
There you go.
Yeah, I think there's something really empowering about accepting the fact that some people will only be in your organization for a season, and just changing that mindset to, okay, while they're here, I'm going to help them grow in every way possible, right? So that way they're ready for their next, whatever that is that they're passionate about. And then, you know what? Maybe they stay, maybe they don't. Either way, left a huge impact on their lives. I think, again, just something super empowering about accepting that fact.
Well, and I remember many times throughout my career where I've either worked with, you know, HR partner or, you know, trying to hire people myself, where I'm like, this person's probably only going to be here for a year based on, you know, their experience, their skill set, but maybe we can turn this into an experience that they want to stick around. They want to evolve into a role that we don't even have yet. And then we can like just build something for them that's going to help them continue to be part of this. I almost said the word family. I don't want to say family, but part of this company or group, you know?
By the way, this podcast is not sponsored by Olive Garden. That's a trademark term, I think. So. But
great, yeah.
I think it's really powerful, and it's you know, going back to the skill of being adaptable, as well as I think where we started this conversation, helping leaders understand this is the landscape that we're operating, right? You know, and there are people who still want to work for the same company for a long period of time, and that is one of their primary motivations, is to have that stability. But there are also people who are like, forget this, you know, and I think, you know, there's calculus here, right? If you look at the numbers, job hoppers earn more money over time.
That's right.
They just do. So if you're not keeping up with the, you know, that level of pay rate, you're just going to have that risk inherently in your human resources systems. And it's just a probabilistic bet, right? That somebody makes, okay, well, I got a 5% raise this year at my current company. If I go over here, I'm going to make 10% more. And depending upon where they're at in the income ladder and what their expenses are, that might be a very easy decision for them to make.
I think this comes back to what you talked about, like having a one-on-one with your team. Like, this is where more leaders need to have one-on-ones with their people. Like, it's the most underutilized tool, I think, that for a lot of people is having one-on-ones, because you need to understand what actually motivates the people that you have on your team. If it's just money, well, you got some problems. Yeah, I think there's some challenges there, right? But like, maybe they're motivated by having a flexible work-life balance, like a certain schedule. Like, I had a top performer at one point in my career where I thought like, oh, okay, I'm just going to, you know, try and throw money at them. And they're like, I don't care about the money. I don't care about the promotion. I just want to work 30 hours instead of 40 hours a week. And I said, okay, we'll do that. And this person was more productive than most people on the team working less hours and getting more done. Because they were all in and just like motivated by that. So you got to find out what actually appeals to somebody. Like, for me, what I care about more than anything else, more than money, is just being happy and fulfilled. That's what I want. Like, I want to feel like, you know what? I've made an impact. Because yeah, the money will come, but like, I just want to feel happy at the end of the day. I don't want to be miserable. And I think a lot of people have just different, you know, things that stand out to them that's important.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you don't know unless you ask, right? Or you facilitate that time and that connection point.
Yeah. Don't think that by feeding them pizza is going to motivate them either.
I do love a good pizza.
I like pizza too, but it's not the thing that's going to keep you long term.
You're happy, right? Sure, tacos.
We do what works for them.
Tacos, yeah, taco bar. Yeah,
there you go.
We fixed it. We fixed morale. Tacos for everyone.
That's right.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think, you know, I think it's really interesting. Also, you know, I'm curious. So, and we haven't touched on this, so I want to touch on this briefly. So you're an avid poker player, right?
Right.
That's your side hustle. That's, you know, kind of your sweet spot.
Passion.
I'm curious because that's a very probabilistic, you know, activity. Do you think about recruiting and retaining in the same context that you think about the probability of winning a poker hand? Is that how your brain interprets some of the work you do?
I would say so. Yeah, I definitely use my poker skills too, also in business all the time, right? Like reading people, reading situations. Like when I'm interviewing somebody, like I'm trying to pick up some tells. Like I'm trying to figure out what, you know, are they feeding me a line of bullshit here? Like, is this actually legit real or not too, right? But like you're doing the math also in a lot of ways and trying to be strategic with hiring. Like I need to, you know, be in enough pots and, you know, have enough, you know, times where I'm seeing the hand to kind of understand where I'm sitting, where I'm at, have enough conversations. I think that's critical, important. Like I use poker and I have literally used poker with teams throughout my career. We're like, we're going to sit down, we're going to play the game, but I'm going to also like use it as a way to teach you other stuff. Or I'm going to use poker as a way to like lead a talk or a training session in some way too. I've just been really, really passionate about it for the last, whatever, 20 years or whatever it's been, but it's, you can learn a lot from games.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a really interesting skill. I'm a terrible poker player because I my tells are like, it's hard, you know, what I can't like fake it. Like I get a good hand and I'm like, immediately I'm like, yay, you know, on my face. or I get a bad hand and I'm just like, you know, but yeah. So good for you. You're probably better at that.
But like it's the hardest people to play against when you're playing poker are the people who maybe don't have as much experience or don't know what they're doing. Like, cause they'll call hands that they shouldn't. And I think the same thing happens in business too. But like, I remember like I was invited to something a few weeks back. I'm like, oh, bring your poker set. We're going to play poker. And some of the people didn't know how to play. I'm like, okay, great. I was out in like four hands because the people who didn't know how to do it were honestly crushing me. And I'm thinking I play with people who know how to play poker and they don't know. But like, you got to get in the right room. And I think the same thing happens with like in business, like be in the right room with the right people. And you'll hopefully thrive and not be kicked out of the game.
There you go. just don't get kicked out of the game. That's the point.
Or find another game.
Yeah, there you go. Perfect. This has been a wonderful conversation. We've touched on a lot here, from pro wrestling to poker to leadership success. So
who knew?
I do want to. What's that?
Who knew?
Who knew?
We
got there. That was my goal at the beginning of this podcast, by the way. I'm like, how can I check the box on getting to all these topics? So I'm happy.
In 30 minutes, gentlemen. Well done.
30 minutes. I do want to shift gears. I want to get into the Rebel HR flash round, and I'm fascinated to hear your responses here, Chris. Are you ready? All right. Question number one, where does HR need to rebel?
They need to stop focusing on this shift of being more policy and procedure based and back to people. Based.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Couldn't agree more. That's why we exist.
It's shifting pretty much, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, I mean, you know, if there's anything that retains employees, it's a wonderful handbook. I mean, everybody loves them. It's their favorite thing. That's just how you drive engagement, right?
That's right. Just read a 40, 50 page handbook.
Yep, that's it.
And everybody does, every
mission
word.
Accomplished. Yeah.
They find what they did.
Yeah. All right, question number two. Who should we be listening to?
I would say that we should, HR professionals should be listening to Alex Hormozi and Gary Vaynerchuk. And it's very different for me to say that for them, but because those are people who are creating content nonstop. And I think the more that HR professionals can learn from people like that, who are business owners, who are creating content, not just creating content, documenting content and documenting the process, they can pick up a lot of tips and tricks. And let's let some HR people really let their personality shine. because there's this like stigma that people in HR are not fun. And I think you two have just proven that's not the case. So I think we got to get more people to do that.
We're a lot of fun.
I put the FU in fun. That's what I tell people. No, amen. I just did a speech on that. I'm with you 100%. We can be fun too. We should be fun. But we should just be authentic. Right. I love Gary Vee, by the way. He's one of my people that I aspire to be like. So with you on that. I don't know, Alex. I'll have to check that one out. All right. Last question. So ton of great content here. I know you do a ton of work, and speaking, consulting, support business. How can our listeners connect with you and learn more and follow what you're doing?
So on the hiring side, they can visit the website hireforme.ca. The four is the number four. So that's one way. chrishanna.ca, where you can see a lot of my, you know, whether it's my talks, whether it's stuff on my podcast, the Chris Hanna Show. You can, you know, find more information about all the different stuff that I do. As I call myself the all-in solopreneur. And then, if you want to follow me on social media, big on LinkedIn, that's my biggest, you know, place where I really focus shooting a lot of video content. But Instagram and TikTok are the other two as well. So it's Chris Hanna Show is the username for that too.
Awesome. And we'll have all that information in the show notes. So open up your podcast player, check it out. Chris, it's just been an awesome getting to know you. I can't wait to follow you. Now I'm going to be following all these videos. I don't have TikTok. I'll have to see how to do that. Molly, maybe you can help
me. I'm just really starting on the TikTok stuff, but I think that video's where it's at.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Love it. All right, Chris. Well, I really appreciate you being here and have a great rest of your day.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks, Chris.
All right, that does it for the Rebel HR podcast. Big thank you to our guests. Follow us on Facebook at Rebel HR Podcast, Twitter at Rebel HR Guy, or see our website at rebelhumanresources.com. The views and opinions expressed by Rebel HR Podcast are those of the authors and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of any of the organizations that we represent. No animals were harmed during the filming of this podcast.
Baby.